In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. Be a bit of a teaching sermon this morning. When people first enter an Orthodox church building for the first time, what do they usually notice? Maybe it's the smell of the incense lingering. Often it's the three-barred cross, but what really overwhelms most people on their first time visiting is the icons in the church. The fact that not only do we have them, but usually have so many of them. Our front wall, the icon screen, is covered with them. Usually the walls are covered with them around the church. Some churches, there's frescoes and murals. There's not an inch of the surface area not covered with icons. The first Sunday of Lent in the church is called Orthodoxy Sunday. It's a celebration of our Orthodox Christian faith as a whole, but in particular, it is a celebration of icons. It is a celebration of their restoration to the life of faith, because there was a time in the church, especially in the 700s and 800s, when those icons were opposed. There were people that actually went into the churches, took icons out, smashed them, burned them. They called them iconoclasts. And they had objections to the use of icons in the church. And I think it helps us to understand the beauty of having them to know some of those objections. The first objection was, should we have images at all? Should we have icons at all? After all, the second commandment says, you shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make any image or any likeness of anything in heaven, on earth, or in the waters. Now that seems like a very strict prohibition. Why then do we have images? In fact, the Greek word icon means image, if the second commandment says not to have any images. Well, clearly, the church said, that doesn't mean not having images at all, because you couldn't even paint a picture of a tree if you were taking that at its literal value, because after all, a tree is an image of something on earth. You couldn't have a picture of a fish. The church said that is not a prohibition of images or all images in general. It's about how images are used. And in fact, in the Old Testament, God commanded images of angels to be put on the Ark of the Covenant. He commanded that a serpent be put on a pole when the Israelites were being bitten by poisonous snakes. And so the opponents of icons came up with a second objection. They said, you know, icons are not only should you not have them, but it's idolatry, because that second commandment goes on to say, not only should you not make them, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. You shall not make images nor bow down to them and serve them. Now we have images, icons in our church all the time, right? What do you do when you come into church? You kiss the icon, right? At Good Friday, we lay out the shroud of the Lord's body. We bow down two times, we kiss it three times, we bow down a third time. Does that not violate the commandment? Is that not idolatry? Well, we would say absolutely not. If you ask a child, who is this, right? What are they going to say? They're going to say, this is Jesus. Are they correct? Absolutely yes. But this is not Jesus in the sense that this block of wood is Jesus. This is Jesus in the sense it's a picture of Jesus. St. Basil the Great says, with any image, the honor shown to an image passes to who it's a picture of. He calls it the prototype. It passes to the prototype. When you kiss a picture of your family, it's not photographic paper that you're kissing, but it is the love you have for your family. So when I kiss an image of Jesus Christ, I am honoring Christ who is in there. And so the prohibition of idolatry is proven false, because we are not idolizing that piece of wood. It's not like when Aaron built the golden calf in the desert and told the Israelites, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. They were worshiping that particular calf. When we kiss an icon, it's not worship of that block of wood. It's not worship of that paint. It is honor being shown to the person in the picture. The third objection was, how can you paint the divine nature? Jesus is both God and man. He was God before the ages. Before time began, there was the Son of God in heaven with the Father and the Spirit. He took flesh and came down to earth. How can you paint his divine nature? When you paint a painting of Jesus like this, you're just painting his human nature, they said. How can you possibly paint his divine nature? And the church once again said, no, that's not correct either. When you paint a painting, you're not painting a nature. Even this doesn't paint human nature. This is a painting of a person. You're not painting a nature, you're painting a person. If you take a picture of a dog, you haven't taken a picture of dog nature. You've taken a picture of a dog. Likewise, when you paint a painting of Christ, you are painting his person. You are painting an image of who he was, of who he chose to be. And not only that, but the fact that he came down from heaven and took a body means that he chose to be visible. He chose to be describable. In fact, our Kentuckian of today, one of our hymns we sang is, before he became human, he couldn't be described. The word of the Father could not be described, but when he chose to become a human, he also chose the ability to be described. So in our church today, we celebrate not only the refuting of those objections, we celebrate the place of icons in our church, their beauty. We celebrate their teaching ability. We celebrate their helping us with devotion. We are visual creatures. When we see an icon of Christ, it helps us focus on Christ. I think finally I'd like to say in this teaching sermon to never neglect the most important and first icon ever given to us. Where is the first mention of an image of God in the scripture? It's when God says, "Let us make man in our image, male and female." Then God created man and woman in his own image and his own likeness. The most important icons, as important as these painted ones are around us, the most important images, the most important icons are you and me. Because after all, God is living, and a living icon, therefore, is the closest image that we can have to God himself. Amen.